It was not you who chose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. It seems to start earlier and earlier. Did I get in? Was I selected? Was I accepted? Did I make the team? Whether preschool or school, high school, graduate school, doctorate programs, finding a job, getting a promotion, whether at age 8 or 80, the accomplishments and successes of life often revolve around being chosen. How often have you and I been chosen? Do you recall the very first time that you were chosen? I believe that my first time was being selected to perform in a play. I was in first grade, and the play was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Given my size then, I looked the part of a dwarf pretty well. And given my shyness at the time, I did not mind being selected to perform bashful. Of course, I don't think I would be able to be selected for that role now. But there was a certain joy of being chosen. And that joy, whether for plays or sports or schools or promotion, always has an anxiety attached to it, namely the possibility of not being chosen. As a child, we may have not made the cut of a sports team or been selected or find ourselves being rejected and rejected and rejected. And later in life, the pressures of being accepted and being chosen to schools or positions stirred both our healthy ambitions towards accomplishments, but also competitiveness and competitions that it may provoke jealousies and pride. There is certainly a fine balance when it comes to our feelings around being chosen and not chosen. And so today's gospel from John, taken from Jesus' longest passage, the farewell discourse, may provide insight into maintaining a healthy balance between being chosen and not chosen, our life's acceptances and our life's rejections. For what Jesus was saying to his disciples is that they have been chosen, and not only they, but also those who would follow in their footsteps, namely you and me. We've been chosen, and we didn't do anything to earn it. And to emphasize this sacred selection as a gift, our gift from God, Jesus adds, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Have you ever pondered these words, that your joy may be complete? What does Jesus mean by suggesting about this completeness of joy? Well, when you think about it, so often when we've been accepted to school or a position, we may experience joy for a time, and then it may dissipate. And there is a difference between joy and happiness. One commentator puts it this way, by definition, happiness is a response to happenstance, contentment, good luck, and external good fortune. Happiness is often a reaction to pleasure. One can be happy when eating ice cream, like a boy or a girl, or reading a good book, or receiving a special gift, or experiencing something pleasurable. And of course, in our nation's psyche, there is the words of Jefferson, you know, the pursuit of happiness. He didn't use the word joy. There's a distinction. Joy, in contrast, is defined as an intense and especially ecstatic or exalted expression of feelings. The antonym of joy is sorrow. The opposite of happiness is sadness. Subtle, but yet profound. Enjoying is not the same as rejoicing. Joy has several deeper meanings than happiness, which are clarified in the scriptures. And the fact is, the word joy is used in the New Testament 56 times. What is that suggesting? The Greek word for joy, chara, rejoice, is a noun which describes a feeling of inner gladness, delight, a real sense of peace. It's an inner gladness of a deepness that connects our soul to our God. Pope Francis often speaks of joy. In a recent book, a Pope Francis lexicon has the word joy in it. And the Dominican leader, Father Timothy Radcliffe, speaks of it, his sense of Francis's joy this way. The face of Pope Francis, the best known in the world, is nearly always filled with joy. And so it is fitting that his first apostolic exhortation should have been called the Joy of the Gospel. It's an identity card, the Pope writes, for a Christian. To be joyful is who we are called to be. Because, why? We have been chosen. If we live in faith in our daily life, the Pope says, then our work too becomes a chance to spread the joy of being a Christian. He also says, a Christian is one who's invited to join in the feast, to the joy of being saved, to the joy of being redeemed, to the joy of sharing love with Christ. This is the joy. We are all invited to the party. Sense the gift, my brothers and sisters, that we have been given. And it pervades how we communicate to one another. Not just so much that we are ecstatic, but there's an inner contentment guiding our lives. Even in sorrows, there is that consolation to know that we have been chosen. The Pope also writes, the joy of a marriage may be deepened by shared trials. It grows through pain and sorrow. And the words of St. Augustine radiate, the greater the danger in battle, the greater is the victory. The struggles of our lives may not be always joyful, but as we struggle knowing God's presence, there is that gift of joy. Pope also says, the joy cannot be held at heel. It must be let go. Joy is a pilgrim virtue, a gift that walks on the path of life, that walks with Jesus, preaching, proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming joy that lightens and widens that path. As I think of these words, I recall what is going right now, where 26 of our parishioners are on a pilgrimage through the Ignatian shrines in Spain and later Rome. And another parishioner is walking the Camino, the long trek, in the sense of peace as a pilgrim. Allow me to conclude with three images. One occurred yesterday, right here at this altar. You see, I had the privilege of witnessing the marriage of, their names were Paul and Terry. Paul, a Korean-American, handsome man, Terry, a Chinese-American, a beautiful bride. Of course, it was a joyful occasion, but there was something different that I witnessed. You see, as Terry approached the altar, the first pew, and was about to be given away by her father, Paul came over and he had tears. He was filled with tears of joy. And so his bride literally wiped away Paul's tears. They approached the altar. They sat in the chair, we had the readings, and then we approached the big moment of their proclaiming their vows. And so I had Paul repeat after me. And as he did so, he's looking into his bride's eyes. Then Terry, repeat after me, and her eyes were filled with tears of joy. And then Paul wiped away Terry's tears with his handkerchief. But no one wiped away my tears. The tears of joy, my brothers and sisters, a powerful experience. Second, we will watch in a few moments these children receive their first Eucharist. Boys and girls, you have been chosen by Jesus to receive the body and blood of Christ. And as the children will approach with their parents, maybe they won't have tears, but I expect there may be a few parents and grandparents. Why? Because your joy is complete. This is the very words that Jesus is saying, bow and bear fruit, parents and grandparents, the fruit of your children and grandchildren right here at the altar. Do you remember your first Holy Communion? That is the joy that Jesus is saying, you have been chosen. The long life of whether 8 or 80, the journey, that grounds our joy is in the word and the sacrament. And a final image. Right now, 130 of our teenagers are on retreat, a day retreat, preparing to receive the fruits of confirmation, one of which is joy, a gift. Perhaps we remember those moments of confirmation, but in a month's time, each adolescent will come before the bishop. And it is a powerful experience to be this close and watch a teenager, some of your sons or daughters, receive the gift of that great sacrament. And sometimes they may have tears, but really they are experiencing something of the gift that each of us has been given, the gift of Christ giving to all of us through baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, the other sacraments, that sacred seal, my brothers and sisters, of joy.